in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, is recorded a wonderful prayer by the prophet Daniel on behalf of the people of Israel and himself, and a wonderful answer from the Lord to him. Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to read just a few verses of this chapter, of this prayer, verses 3 through 6. Listen carefully as I read. Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Daniel does not ask for one single material thing in this prayer. He does not ask for health. He does not ask for wealth, a material thing. But this whole prayer is a confession of sin and a plea for mercy and pardon. How different is the true prayer, the heart's cry, the true prayer of a true man of God, child of God, than what goes by the name of prayer today. But I hear this all the time from God's people. For there's one thing needful, and that is mercy. And Scripture says God's mercies are new every morning. To His people, His compassions, they fail not. And so God's people continually cry to Him for mercy. Daniel said, "I set my face unto the Lord to seek Him, to seek by prayer." David, another man after God's own heart, like Daniel, David said this in the Psalm, "When Thou saidest, Seek ye my face, I said, Thy face will I seek." And Daniel sought the Lord, as do true seekers. Sought the Lord, not just blessings from Him, but Him. And Daniel went on to say, "I prayed unto the Lord my God." Daniel was not praying to be seen by men so they would know he's a religious man. Daniel prayed in private. Daniel was not praying unto the Lord to be heard by men, but to be heard by God. He said, "I made my confession unto the Lord. I prayed unto the Lord and made my confession." This is what is greatly needed by our nation. Daniel is praying for his people, Israel. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them, his sins, shall have mercy." People, mercy. The word mercy means not getting what we deserve. Scripture says, God's Word says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's what God's Word says. And we need to confess our sins. We, America, and every person individually, confess our sin. David, in Psalm 51, said, "My sin is ever before me." And David confessed it to God when he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is against God who wrote it. And we need to confess our sin, what we are. What we are is what is the reason for what we do. God will hear the confession of sinners to Him. We're to confess to God only. God only. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess to God, toward God, through by faith in Jesus Christ. Because, people, He's the only mediator, Scripture says, between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. He's the only high priest. There is no such thing as a pope, a spiritual father who can forgive us our sin. No man, no sir. But there is one great high potentate, Jesus Christ, the great high priest. We do have an altar, Paul wrote in Hebrews, but it's not a fleshly altar. We do not come to the front of the so-called church building to confess our sin, nor do we go into a confessional booth to speak to men and confess our sins before men. No. We go to God through Christ. He's the only mediator, the only high priest, the only one who can absolve us of our sin, forgive us of our sin, pardon our sin. Our sins against God, we confess them to Him through Christ, the mediator. Daniel here says, I confess, made my confession unto the Lord. And he says, now here he describes the God of the Bible. I sure hope someone will listen to this. This is God's Word. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God who said, in Malachi 3:6, the God who said of Himself, He said, I change not. The God of the New Testament is the same as the God of the Old. Jesus Christ, who was with the Father from the beginning, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same that was with Him in the beginning. The same God. Now here He describes Himself. Here Daniel describes Him. He said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Great and dreadful God. Have you ever heard anyone today describe God as the great and dreadful God? Or as in the book of Job, He's called the terrible God? Men fear terrorists more than they fear God. They fear Satan more than they fear God. They fear men more than they fear God. When Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God is to be feared and had in reverence in the assembly of the saints, the Scripture said. But Paul's indictment against his day and the same indictment against our day is this. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And I blame it on preachers. I blame all this on preachers who tell men and women and young people without exception that God loves them. Smile, God loves you. Has a wonderful plan for your life. And all this evil and all these calamities and all these things that are happening to you, God didn't want it to happen, but it's happening. And it's that evil person called Satan, but God's standing over on the sideline, a bystander in the affairs of men, letting things happen to them. But He loves you. It's all a lie, people. It's a lie out of hell, is what it is. And those who say that to men without exception, that God loves them, are liars, false prophets. God is the great and dreadful God, to be feared. To be feared. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all these things happening are happening to the United States of America like they were happening to Israel of old because of their sin. He said on down here in this chapter, he says in verse 10, We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And verse 11 says, therefore this curse is poured upon us. The curses told by Moses in his book. By God through Moses in his book. Curses. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Because we have not hearkened unto the word of the Lord, he said. He said we've sinned. In verse 6 he says, because we have not hearkened unto the prophets. And he said, goes on in verse 7 to say, O Lord, righteousness belongs to Thee, but confusion of faces to us. We're confused. And all these things, these calamities, disasters, happen to us. And we don't know why. And the only people that seem to acknowledge it are insurance companies who say it's an act of God so they won't have to pay the damages. People, do you not understand that from the beginning, God Almighty has been the wrath. In Romans chapter 1, it clearly says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. The wrath of God. God is not just love. God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates all workers of iniquity. That's the Bible. That's God's Word. If you don't believe it, throw it away. Throw the Bible away. If your preacher's not saying that, throw him away. Go find you a man that's preaching God's Word, the true and living God, what God says. The wrath of God, Romans 1:18, is revealed from heaven. People, calamities, disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, disasters, pestilence, famine. What happened to Egypt of old? Huh? The Egyptians didn't have a clue what was happening, although these plagues were coming down upon them. The people of God did. Israel knew it was God's hand upon them. And the same today. Throughout history, God has judged men, has poured out His wrath upon them by withholding the rain. If God simply withholds the rain, that water that comes down from heaven, that gift of God that this planet, the life of this planet is sustained by it, water from heaven, a miracle of God, all God has to do is withhold it. Oh, we have all our scientific reasons. This cloud and this moisture gathers and so forth. Oh, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God Almighty is the one that withholds the rain and dries up this planet, and men, all they do is curse Him for it. They don't acknowledge His hand when He sends it, His goodness. And it goes on to say there in Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Have you ever heard anybody today say that Katrina was the wrath of God against that ungodly place called New Orleans? Well, here's one preacher that says it. God, who controls the wind, the floods, and the seas, sent it. Wiped them out. Would anybody say that? No. No, we all go on our little missions down there to rebuild it and telling them how much God loves them, didn't want this to happen. Abraham didn't say that of Sodom, nor should we. The wrath of God. And I'm not saying New Orleans is any worse than Rocky Mount, Virginia. Just more widespread. And he goes on to say in Romans 1:18, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They got a Bible in their hands, Bible in their lap. The preacher's got a Bible in the pulpit, but they're not preaching it and not listening to it. They're not heeding it. And so Daniel, a godly man, a true man, a true prophet of God, warning the people, telling them who God really is, confesses his sin. Yes, he's a sinner. And he confesses the sins of his people. Oh, may the Lord have mercy upon the United States of America and us individually. If he does not, we're goners. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Confess your sins and forsake them is my message. Amen.